Radio.com.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I never sleep, but I'm always dreaming. And in the darkness of these dreams, I start to see things. It is the buzzards that guide me. I see them circling off in the distance, and I follow them. And when I finally reach them, I am astonished by what it is that I see. For below the buzzards is a shell of a man. Below the buzzards lay the mighty Undertaker. And don't you see that man? Can't you see? It was always about you. Can't you see that man? Pride has always been my favorite sin. For it was pride that cast me down into this rotten world to walk amongst you. And it was pride that led me straight to you. And understand, Undertaker, I will not worship you. I just want to walk over your broken bones as I ascend to my throne. I cannot be your redemption, Undertaker, because I am the new face of fear.
This is my legacy.
But it's not your fault. This was preordained. I am chosen. You always knew that the streak was going to end. And you thought that you would be carried off on your shield. But that ain't what happened now, was it? Instead, the cruel hands of fate stole your destiny. But understand, I can give it all back to you, Undertaker. For WrestleMania will be your resurrection. And it will also be your requiem, your final resting place. So what say you, Undertaker? Will you accept my challenge? Come on, Undertaker, come out, wherever you are. Is this how I bring you back? All of your power locked inside a jar. Can this urn bring back the dead?
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
I speak the truth that you all so desperately try to hide yourself from. And if it's the truth that you all want, it's the truth that I will give you. The Undertaker is just like you. The Undertaker is a liar. He tries to hide the fact that he's lost. And he tries to deny the fact that he wants so desperately for his soul to be set free. But don't you worry about a thing, Undertaker. Because luckily, the angel with the burnt wings has been sent to take you back to the other side. There it is, that mystical aura you've all become so addicted to. Can you feel it, man? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? But these spirits no longer operate by your command. These spirits belong to me now. As a matter of fact, everything belongs to me now. I control the light and the darkness. And these demons, they all march to my command. I am the judge. I judge the dead. I judge the living. And Undertaker, I have judged you. You are guilty. At WrestleMania, there will be no redemption. There will be no shield for you to be carried out on. The only thing you will receive is your fate sealed by Sister Abigail's kiss. And then, against your will and against everything that you stand for, I will take my rightful place among the gods as the new face of fear. At WrestleMania, you get the mercy that you so desperately have been begging for.
At WrestleMania, Undertaker, you can finally rest in peace.
With your host, Lindsay Ward, and her producer, Sir Rockin', live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Yeah, cash money, heroes, private jets, polish.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. That's right. The week is upon us. WrestleMania is only a mere few days away, depending on when you're listening to this. I don't want to date us, even though you know when we go to air. But it's close. It's here, Rock.
It is. It's WrestleMania. It's Christmas. Oh, my God. It's coming. And, wow, watch a WrestleMania 11 and have some opera singers opening up with God Bless America or whatever. It's really not the tone you want to set. Anyway,
this is,
it's WrestleMania. It's days away. It's not even, I guess, 72 hours, something like that.
It's about, let's see, days away at this point.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming. It's really, really close. It's here.
It's here, and Santa has arrived in California with awful, horrible cargo pants.
And carrying his wife and kids' luggage.
He's such a good father and husband. He really is. Such a gentleman.
The dead man has landed. We can confirm this.
The dead man has landed. He is in California, and he has hair!
These are the top stories we're covering on this show. He has hair, he's in California, he's in his hotel, and we'll never ever see him again until Sunday.
Nope. I don't know, he didn't really give a crap about arriving in his hotel, so he could just like...
If we see pictures of him and the wife in Disneyland, then, you know...
They're too far north for Disneyland. Unless they pop down to Southern California.
What does he have to do tomorrow? Nothing.
I think he has to work out his match with somebody.
Wait, he's wrestling Sunday? I thought he was just showing up to be there.
No, he's wrestling Sunday. He's wrestling a cult leader, so.
Right. He was mentioned in my 5.5 minute long intro, right?
Yeah. But we're gonna get to that.
By the way, I told you it was good.
It was good. It was very good.
See, I used
last... You want a standing ovation?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I put a lot of work into that. I used last year's.
God.
Hey, I worked on this show. I prepared.
I know. Anyway. I'm so proud.
Oh, my God. It's the Allied Powers, British Bulldog, and Lex Luger. Oh, my God. Anyway.
But, yeah. So, anyway, back on track. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. We're here for the WrestleMania Spectacular of our own. We have so much to talk about. We're going to be doing a little bit different format for you guys tonight because we're dedicating the whole second half of the show.
Actually, 95% of the show.
95% of the show really to WrestleMania. We're going to be talking about all the matches. We're going to be breaking everything down. We're going to get into some pretty in-depth discussions. Of course, we're talking about Bray Wyatt and Taker, which is two of my favorite subjects. So we're going to get a little lengthy there. But before we jump into all of that, we have to talk about a little bit of news. We are going to be talking Brock Lesnar and his whole deal, which is the biggest story of the week. But we were talking about that at the end of the show because that directly impacts his match with Roman Reigns, and we just want to hit all that
in one shot. Yeah, and we have a really topical question that gets posed from an interview here locally that we're going to be discussing during the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match that we want you guys to sort of listen to and contribute some ideas on. Get your thoughts on it as well.
And I'm going to rant on, because I've already heard the question.
Yeah, she has.
I have a prepared statement for that.
She does have a prepared statement. We've been prepping all day.
Yes, we have. We've been getting ready for you guys because we're super excited. But we have a little bit of news, some that broke today, shock of shockers. And, well, most of it concerns the Hall of Fame. We should announce that the final inductee was revealed on Monday night, and that is none other than Big Sexy Kevin Nash, a.k.a. Diesel. So congratulations to him. He's being inducted by Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, we got to squash the rumor of Mick Foley. Apparently, the way Mick Foley tweeted made everyone go, oh my god, Mick Foley's inducting.
No, it's Shawn.
It's most likely going to be Shawn, even though they haven't said, I don't think they've said it's Shawn.
I don't think they've officially said it's Shawn, but it's probably going to be, it's either going to be Shawn or Scott Hall.
Most likely Shawn. I don't think they trust Scott Hall to, you know, talk like that. It's most likely going to be Shawn. So yeah, Kevin Nash is going in. He's going in along with the likes of Macho Man Randy Savage, which, alright, let's talk about that first. Many people are going to be wondering, if Randy Savage doesn't close the show, why? It's simple. He's not around anymore. He will get the honor he deserves. It's up to WWE's discretion who they want to close, and it's probably going to be Nash.
I would guess it's going to be Nash.
But trust me, they're going all out for Randy Savage. They have Hogan there inducting him. His brother's going to be the one accepting the honor. They're going to have an awesome video package for him. We have Rob Schomburger at the WrestleMania Access painting a picture of Randy Savage. It looks pretty good so far.
It does look really good so far. By the way, if you're at WrestleMania Access, you go see Rob, tell him the Rock sent you.
Yes, but so that's that, and I'm okay with Kevin Nash closing, honestly.
I'm okay with it. You know, it's something of if Randy Savage was still with us, obviously I would like to see him close the show,
but that would be a no-brainer.
That would be a complete no-brainer, but obviously because he's no longer with us, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to end it on kind of a depressing note. Because, you know, when it's a posthumous induction and they're not there, you kind of wonder, well, what if, what would it be like if they were there? And you know Savage would be here, there, everywhere. So, yeah, it's a little sad that he's not with us, and so I'd rather it close on a happy note.
Right, and again, they're going to go all out for Savage during the show. Trust me, if Connor the Crusher going in for the Warriors Award, which
that's going to make me cry.
That's going to you know, tear people up, which is, you know, he's an awesome kid, and if you haven't watched this special on WWE Network, one of the reasons to get the WWE Network, besides WrestleMania, get it for WWE 24, the behind the scenes of WrestleMania 30. It's a really done little special with him featured in it. Alright, so the Hayes in it, we have Rikishi going in. In the Bushwhackers, we've said our thoughts. We talked about...
Congratulations!
Yeah. The dude from Japan's going in.
Yes. I don't have his name up.
I forget his name already. The man behind the Dragon Sleeper. I know that much. I can't pronounce names. We all know this. Medusa's going in, and we have news on Medusa. It appears that Natalya will be the one inducting her.
That should be interesting.
The way people found that out, her name's on the back of the t-shirt. These are how we're getting news these days, from t-shirts and programs.
Yep.
Like Kevin Nash was in a program and on a t-shirt before he was even announced. It's a fun way to do it. This is going to be an interesting Hall of Fame. I don't expect, everyone's going, oh my god, how are they going to fit all these people in? Just watch. They will.
Here's the thing. They have a 3-hour time block, and we broke it down, and it's like 22 minutes or something like that per person, where for everything, where it's the video package, the inductor, and then the inductee together. Not everybody is going to take that full 22 minutes. There are going to be people who are going to go short. There are going to be people that are going to go long.
Right. They're going to spend like 10 minutes on Connor. They're going to spend 20 minutes on Medusa. Nash will probably get 30. The Bushwhackers will get about 10, probably. It's not going to be... You don't want 25, 30-minute speeches from everybody. It wouldn't... Because they're not big talkers. Some of them are not huge talkers. You get some good stories, and everyone's like... Everyone forgets these other Hall of Fame. They just see the list and go, oh, that's a lot of people. But if you look back at the Hall of Fame, they inducted 5 horsemen once.
I was at that one, I think.
No. You were there.
I was at Legion of Doom.
You were at Legion of Doom. The year they did the Horsemen, there was like 5 of them, and everyone got a chance to speak, so they got everybody in.
Yeah, they're pros at this. They know how to take care of it, and they're not going to have another Mr. T incident like they did last year.
No, we're not going to have Mr. T. That reminds me, Arnold Schwarzenegger's going into the Hall of Fame. He's going to be inducted by Triple H.
Hunter's speech will be longer than Schwarzenegger's, I promise you that.
Most likely. I still have to go back and watch the special on the network from that they did, the interview. Heard it was really good.
I'm sitting here half watching it. I don't have the sound on.
apparently it's really good. I'm watching, I see Uncle Zebekiah when he was managing Jacob and Eli Blue at WrestleMania 11. Zeb is so young.
Wow.
He's so young at this point. So you're getting live commentary as much as the network as well, because that's what we do.
Stop showing the thing!
That's why I'm watching old stuff. You don't have to see the thing.
Get to send you with the thing.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to the Hall of Fame. It's going to be on the network on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. For only $9.99, get it. It's going to be worth the money. At 7 o'clock will be the red carpet show. So, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? It's all going to be taken care of. Maria Menounos is going to be co-host on it.
Oh, please don't let her laugh.
She will probably laugh. Her laugh is interesting.
Her laugh makes me want to throw things at her.
And I think she knows that.
She sounds like Woody Woodpecker.
Her laugh has become a thing.
Why has it become a thing?
Because
it's
awful. Because she was on Howard Stern and they made fun of her laugh and it became a thing.
Damn you, Howard Stern!
Now, speaking of the Hall of Fame, Lindsay.
Yes?
There's one thing that's going to change about this year's Hall of Fame.
Yes? Yes, there is, and it's an interesting change, to say the least.
And what's that change?
Well, Jerry Lawler will no longer, at least this year, is no longer emceeing the Hall of Fame as he has in past years. The honor is being handed over to one Eva Marie.
Former guest of the Rack.
Former guest of the Rack. So the Hall of Fame is going all red, y'all.
All red everything. Kane Kins is excited. He's ecstatic. His future Divas champion is going to be hosting the Hall of Fame.
I can hear him cursing your name.
I know. I know he is, but that's the whole fun of it. He's going to curse my name. It's fun. But yeah, she's going to be the one hosting the show. I'm okay with it. I understand why they're doing it. They're sort of trying to phase Jerry Lawler out of things, so.
Pretty much, yeah. It's just, it's, with everybody that they have on that roster, you think they would pick someone other than Eva.
I would assume everyone else is busy with other things.
Oh, I'm sure, but it's just like, you heard it, it's like, oh, Jerry Lawler's out, okay, that's fine. Wait, Eva? Really? It's like, okay, let's see how this goes.
I don't think
this could be either really good or really bad, and there's not going to be an in-between on this one.
No, there won't be an in-between, but I think it'll be alright.
Coming to Total Divas near you.
Hey, could be a tie-in. You never know.
Could be.
I'm okay with it. I know a lot of people are not happy with it. I'm fine with it. She's on the screen maybe 5 minutes total throughout the night. Nothing too overly important.
Yeah, basically, it's welcome to the Hall of Fame, and please welcome our first inductee, or inductor, and then she goes on from there.
Right, she'll read the teleprompter. That's all she's doing.
And they're probably going to heavily coach her.
Yeah, she'll probably be rehearsing all the next 2 days. If she has
that's all they're doing this week is rehearsing.
Well, that's all they have to do at this point. Oh my god, it's Jeff Jarrett and the Roadie. Oh lord.
It's the Roadie!
And it's Jeff Jarrett with his jacket that, you know, jacket and his glasses that blink. It's just amazing.
Ah, the 90s.
The 90s. Hey, it's Ms. Dow before Ms. Dow. It's the Road Dog. The Roadie. They are to give him his towel and his, you know, water and everything like that.
He's such a good friend.
Such a good friend. Yeah, you're getting this all night. Anyway, moving right along.
Tangent!
Well, we can't keep on track. There's a couple other things about WrestleMania. As far as music is concerned, we need to talk about.
We do. It has been announced that WrestleMania performances will be Skylar Grey and Kid Ink. They're going to be joined by legendary drummer Travis Barker.
From Blink 182.
So yay to that. And well, you've got a little news on who's singing this national anthem.
Allo Black will be singing the America the Beautiful to open up WrestleMania. He apparently has the Raider with Florida Georgia Line from what I've been researching. So that's pretty cool. Going back to the musical performance, it'll be a medley featuring Rise, as well as Money and The Power, the two songs featured for WrestleMania, the two theme songs of the show, will be performed at some point during the show. We should note before we get into our preview here in a bit, that they made a change to the pre-show.
They did.
The Battle Royal has now been moved to the pre-show, which means that this whole event is now about 5 hours long.
Which means the show was running really long when they timed it out and they shifted stuff.
Yeah, they had, instead of, you know, not giving Divas a chance, they moved one, since they have the window, they move the match back. So people going to the show will probably have to be in the building closer to 3 rather than 3:30.
Which means I'm going to have to get dinner earlier. Crap.
Yeah, you have to get dinner a little bit earlier. You got to be back by 6.
Shit. Well, I didn't want to eat that early.
Well, you know, well, you got to know. It happens.
Put the tag title match on first.
I think that's the case. I think the tag match opens, then it's the battle royal.
But, yeah, I mean, that's fine. I would rather them honestly move another match to the pre-show because it's 2 hours long anyway.
Right.
And have 2 matches on the pre-show, which makes a lot of sense, than cut time to get everything on the main card. Like, if that means that we're going to get longer matches for everybody on the main card, I'm okay with this.
Wait, we got breaking news.
Someone, we got breaking news.
Look in our chat room.
Where's the window?
He's debating working from home. He may not go into the office.
Oh my god, are you gonna break your streak?
Is the streak ending at WrestleMania Sunday?
Wait, no, he's working. He's not going in the office, but he's working.
Man.
So I think the streak stays intact.
I guess the streak does stay intact. Could have been 2 WrestleManias in a row and a streak ended. Oh,
again, I could just hear the FU from here. Oh, just maybe work the morning and leave before Mania. Really, dude? Really, it's Sunday. You can take a day off. Are you going to work Easter? I'm just curious.
He probably is going to work Easter.
The thing doesn't happen. Oh, God. Dude, we need to get you a life.
Anyway, we're just making fun of King Kittens. So that's basically the news we have. Before we go into WrestleMania completely, we have a couple things to talk about.
We do.
Mainly what happened last night on NXT. And there was 2 championship matches. We had Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss for the NXT Women's Championship. This was quick, early, awkward roll-ups by Alexa Bliss early in the match. I love that Sasha did a running slap followed by a curtsy.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. Sasha dominated for a while. Bliss fought back. Did the big toss to the outside. Alexa with a big slap, leg sweep, Bliss flip, which needs to have work on. For a 2 count, Alexa went to the top rope, got dragged down by Sasha, who locked in the bank statement for the win. Like I said, solid match, but Alexa Bliss has a long ways to go.
Yeah, Alexa needs a little work, and that's why she's there, is they're going to continue to work on her and bring her up to speed. But yeah, this was Sasha looked good. It was solid, liked it a lot. Sasha retains. So the fairy's been put out to pasture.
For the time being.
Or did she go in the hat? She went in the hat.
She went in the hat, yeah. Go with that. She has to find her way back out of the hat. You need to get the blue fairy out.
Yep. Dude, she's blue!
She's blue. Oh, wow, she is blue.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just don't even worry about it.
Hashtag once upon a time.
Yep.
Anyway. There was an interesting promo with Emma and Bayley, and sort of Emma is... The best way to put it, she's disgruntled after what happened on the main roster.
Just a little bit.
That's the best way to put it, and there's tension building between Bayley and Emma. There's also tension between Tadeo and Tyler Breeze, which we're going to get a 2 out of 3 falls next week.
That's, yes!
That should be pretty good. And Blake and Murphy gave some bling bling to Carmella.
She's so out of your league.
And then we had the main event. Ooh, what a main event.
Oh my god. God, I need more of this.
Kevin Owens, Finn Balor. Owens did the stall tactics early. Balor takes control for a bit. Both men begin to try to take control. Owens dropped him across the top rope, then just began to wear him down. We had nice swinging Samoan drop by Owens. Big hard Irish whip, which, like, you heard the sound of it. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
Owens was taunting Balor a lot in this matchup. Balor makes his comeback. Big running chop. Went for a second time. Owens moved. Balor hit the sling blade. Underhook lift DDT for a 2 count. He went for the running dropkick. Owens moved. Owens goes right after the injured left knee. Balor countered a powerbomb with a double foot stop. He went for goes for a suplex on the top rope. The superplex. Owens countered into like a fisherman's buster from the top rope, which was really, really nice. Balor fights back, but Owens chop blocks the knee. Owens connects with a running cannonball, then works over the leg again. Hits a running cannonball into the injured leg. Goes one more time. Missed. Balor hits the running dropkick, the double stomp. but could not make the cover because of his knee. Owens then hits the pop-up powerbomb for the win to retain the NXT Championship.
Yay! This was a great, great match.
I enjoyed the hell out of this match. It started slow, but they had like 30 minutes. It's really good.
Yeah, and they built to that finish, and it was so well done. I need more of this.
And I believe we're going to get more of the two coming up here next few weeks.
Yay!
Overall, it was a solid NXT, two really good matches, and a lot of video packages and interviews.
I liked that they didn't do so much on this one because it is the build-up to WrestleMania, and you don't want a really heavy show, especially seeing as Raw was the go-home, and you want people focused on the pay-per-view and not necessarily on anything else. So I liked how NXT still did its thing, but sort of stepped back a little bit.
Right.
To focus on Mania. But yeah, to everybody that's going to the show out in San Jose, I hate you.
That building is going to be packed.
Yeah, Hunter was showing it off. He's like the proudest papa you've ever seen, because that building is sold.
Sold out, 4,300 people, basically.
That's amazing.
Big building.
Yeah, it's a big building.
It's going to be packed. They got something planned.
Yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be awesome, and I can't wait to hear what happens. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week real quick, and then we're going to jump right into WrestleMania, so y'all don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
On so many different dials, cause I got more hits than a disciplined child. So when they see me, everybody barack, barack. Man, I'm like a young gun, fully black, barack. I cry teardrops over the massive attack. I only make hits like I work with a racket and back. Look on my jacket and hat.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And speaking of Matt Goldberg, because I can't forget him.
No, we can't forget him.
Matt's doing a brand spanking new project. He's working in conjunction with a friend of his on his graduate thesis film for SCAD. And, well, they need your help, guys. It's called Wounded, and it's going to be starring Elijah Burke, former WWE superstar. And, well, it's a pretty, pretty cool film. Basically, it's a tale of five brothers who reunite at the funeral of their Uncle Joe. And during their reunion, they reflect on their rough childhood. It brings to issue some dark, or brings to light some dark issues that each brother faced during their youth, and the effects it has on them as young adults. And, well, you can go read the full synopsis, because don't want to take up too much time, don't want to give it all away either, but go check it out. It's indiegogo.com/project/wounded-film. You can probably search for it for wounded-film or wounded, and you'll find it.
Or go to facebook.com/WTRTheRack.
Yes, we have the link out there as well, but it's an awesome project. Basically, they're trying to raise $3,000. For filming and all the stuff that goes with it. So please, if you can, donate, help them out. I know Matt would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, they need like for hotels for the actors and all that other fun stuff.
Food and
all the other, the odds and ends that go into a production.
Yeah, so if you can, please go donate, help them out. I'm sure they would really, really, really appreciate it. Remember, this is it's a graduate thesis.
Yeah, it's not a high-budget film, but this is pretty cool, and we'll probably hear more about it in the coming weeks.
Yes. Yes, we will. And maybe an interview or two. But now it's Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alright, so, I actually have a lot this week. Right?
Probably more than me.
Maybe. Okay, so I have to figure out where it leads off. I did the paginated tweets last week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Unfavorite. Okay. Organization. It's wonderful.
Right.
So this is a conversation between Bailey and Becky Lynch and Carmella.
Go ahead.
So, Bailey, El Torito pins at Nat by Nature? Unbelievable. Hashtag raw. Take that at Becky Lynch.
I saw that one. That made me laugh.
Becky Lynch. It's Bailey and at Nat by Nature. Leave the puns to me. You're not bullet for it. Or bolt for it. Carmella. Leave Bailey alone. Her puns are fabulous and yours are terrible. Becky Lynch, whatever, mine are bulletproof. Bailey, Becky, stop. Bailey Mella is fabulous.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Becky Lynch, oh, Bailey, you lose credibility with statements like that. You're intolerable. Bailey, that's highly debatable. Becky Lynch, no, it's undisputable. Carmella, Bailey, all you do is ramble on about nonsense. Bye-bye. Becky, what a predictable response. I'll take on both you losers. I'm unstoppable. Bailey, don't get all belligerent on us. Becky, I'll run you through like a bulldozer.
You really do have more than me. Keep going.
That was just an awesome conversation during Raw. The Miz. Alcatraz, if I left Miz Dow there, I think he could escape in time for hashtag WrestleMania. To which Damian Mizdow replies, my grandmother was a multi-medal winning swimmer. I would be fine, boss. Hashtag genetics. So we're just going to forget the whole Gulf of Mexico thing that never happens.
We don't talk about that.
Paul Stanley. Okay, now do you see me at WWE Raw? I'm pretty hard to miss. WWE, hashtag kiss, at WWE Universe, at WrestleMania. Stardust. Dad? And for the record, it's Paul Stanley in his kiss makeup. And finally, Bad News Barrett. Buy my bloody shirt, signing tomorrow at WrestleMania Superstore, 12 to 2, no tickets required, open to public. I just laughed that he's like, buy my shit!
Alright. You did have more than me.
Haha! It's a first!
I think it really is. Yeah, I had like 12 or not even that. Alright, here we go. Alright, so we start with, someone tweeted, SoCalVal, wish you were in the WWE, be a great addition as a manager or ring announcer. Scott Stanford replied, or my co-host. She goes, yes, hashtag Scott Stanford and hashtag SoCalVal review the best Steve Blackman matches on WWE Network. Book it. WWE Creative-ish. That guy in the gray wife beater just beat the hell out of the guy in the gray wife beater. Hashtag Raw tonight. Three-man booth. This wouldn't happen if Seth Rollins hired Paul Blart Mall Cop, you know. Keep it five-star. But Brie Bella mixtape, track number one. Brie Mode, techno remix, track number two. Oh, Why Did I Lose My Shoe, featuring Paige, track three. Come on, Nikki. Three-man booth. Uh-oh, the Mega Divas implode. Three-man booth. Paige, you don't understand. AJ Lee is a big fan of Arrested Development. Hashtag, no touching. WWE Creative-ish. Who will win, the guy with the undefeated streak and a match at WrestleMania against John Cena, or the guy with the handprint t-shirt? Three-man booth. Don't mess with the dead man, Bray Wyatt. He's got eerie powers. Hashtag Raw. WWE Creative-ish. Wait, Diesel was Kevin Nash? What a swerve. Brandon types here. Maybe when CM Punk has his first UFC fight, the crowd will chant AJ Lee, like they chant CM Punk during her matches. Bill Simmons. Beetle is now the Adam Schefter of WWE Scoops. Can't ESPN just acquire the WWE and turn it over to me, Beetle, Coach, and Masked Man? That would be kind of awesome if they were the announced team. The fake ESPN. Rex Ryan says, LeSean McCoy deal took 30 minutes, and he knows this because he was waiting for a Domino's pizza delivery at the same time, WWE Creative-ish. Brock Lesnar re-signing for 3 years means catering's budget for Raw meat just went through the roof. Hashtag travel woes. And finally, Samoa Joe. Currently in the middle of a hearty party circled by a hurricane. Oh yeah. So that's Tweet of the Week. Now we get into our WrestleMania preview. And man oh man, do we have a lot of preview to get to.
I was making all sorts of witty comments and nobody could hear me. God damn it!
I was like, I knew she would say something. Anyway.
So yes, we have a lot to get into and we're going to start right in with the kickoff pre-show matches, and since...
Before we do, need to point this out.
What?
Everyone go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork or tweet them at WildTalkRadio. Your picks for WrestleMania.
Yes. We have a prize, don't we?
No, I don't think we have a prize.
Oh, we don't have a prize. Bragging rights, y'all.
Bragging rights. Anyway, now we get into the full show. We've got matches. We have tons of matches.
We have 9 matches we have to get into, 2 for the pre-show, and we're going to start with the original pre-show kickoff, which was the tag title match, which features the whole damn tag division minus the Ascension versus Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, the team I affectionately call Team Pussy.
Because they're cats.
Yeah. We'll go with that. So...
By the way, we are facing the Magic 8-Ball.
We are facing the Magic 8-Ball. So, in case you don't know, it's the Usos, the New Day...
Los Matadores,
and...
Cesaro and Kidd.
Basically the match they did tonight on SmackDown.
Now, I think we can officially rule out Los Matadores.
I think we can rule out New Day.
I think so. See, the problem is I'm not sure.
It depends on who in New Day is wrestling, whether it's...
I believe it's Big E and Kofi.
It's Big E and Kofi?
I think, because I think that's what the graphic was on WWE.com.
Could be.
Well, it's Old Undertaker versus King Kong Bundy. Ooh, man, this match. Anyway, I think we could... Alright, I'm ruling out the Usos. For the simple fact, Jey Uso is really hurt. But he's going to gut through the pain, probably for WrestleMania, and then probably take some time off. So I think we rule them out.
I concur with that.
And I'm trying to do, you know, a process of elimination type thing here. So the way I see it is boils down to New Day or Cesaro and Kidd. Part of me thinks they want to give the New Day a chance. I really do. I think they have this idea to push the New Day. But then part of me goes, I see 3 people in the crowd going, New Day, New Day. That's a sound effect for clapping because I don't feel like clapping. Awesome sound effects, I know. And then it comes down to Cesaro and Kidd. And it's like, I like Cesaro and Kidd as a team. I really do. And I think they have a potential to be really, really good. Everyone has someone in their corner, right? We got the Bull, we got Natty, we got Naomi, and I guess New Day would have a Xavier Woods, so everyone has something in their corner. So that's a lot of people in one area. God, that really is a lot of people. Wow, just thinking about it.
Right.
I'm not sure if is this elimination or is this one fall?
I think this is one fall.
Last year was elimination, this is probably one fall. Where I'm going to WWE.com, the source for everything, to double check on this one, but I believe it's one fall to a finish. But so yeah, it boils down to those 2 teams, and it's sort of like, yeah, they're calling it a fatal 4-way, so I would assume that's one fall to a finish. I'm gonna say Cesaro and Kidd retain the belts, but I wouldn't be surprised if the New Day took the belts.
I think if the Usos weren't hurt, it would be going back to the Usos, but Cesaro and Kidd are getting over. They don't seem interested in really taking it off anybody else. I don't see it going on Los Matadores. I honestly don't see it going on New Day. As much as I would love to see them push New Day, because seeing them live changed my opinion of them, because they really are incredibly good. They just, nobody can really get behind them, if that makes sense.
They're very talented. We never said they weren't talented. It's just sort of... nothing to the gimmick right now.
Yeah, so it's... I think they're going to... Honestly, I think based on what's going to potentially happen throughout the night, that they're not going to change the tag titles. I think they are going to stay with Cesaro and Kidd.
And Cesaro,
but there will be massive shenanigans in this.
We're going to see the Bull involved, Natty involved, Naomi involved, and Xavier probably will just stand there clapping.
Xavier's getting gored by the Bull. I'm calling that shot now.
You're calling that shot now? Alright, I can see that happening as well. And since Cesaro and Kidd just got a t-shirt on WWE Shop this past Monday, I think they keep the belts.
You think they keep the belts?
Just because they got a t-shirt. I think that's the giveaway.
Oh, dude, it works.
What works?
My drawing tablet's now wireless.
Awesome. Anyway, so I'm going Cesaro and Kidd, you're going...
Cesaro and Kidd.
Now, we asked the Magic 8-Ball, will Cesaro and Kidd retain the tag titles? Signs point to yes. So we're in agreement with the Magic 8-Ball for the first match.
Screw you, 8-Ball.
We then move to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is now on the pre-show. The participants currently are The Ascension, Mark Henry, Heath Slater, Goldust, Sin Cara, Damian Mizdow, Eric Rowan, Kane, Big Show, Darren Young, Titus O'Neil, Jack Swagger, Zack Ryder, Adam Rose, Fandango, The Ryback, Curtis, Axelmania, and The Miz. I'm going to throw this out there already. The Magic 8-Ball picked Mizdow. I went through a bunch of people, and everyone said no. Until I got to Mizdow, and he was the first yes. So Mizdow's winning the Battle Royal, according to Magic 8-Ball. This one's tricky. We should mention there's an NXT tournament on this one, with a member of the NXT roster, whether it's Tyler Breeze, Hideo, Tommy, Finn Balor, or Adrian Neville. We'll get into this match. And we'll figure that out in a second. This one's tough.
You say Breeze has the potential of going in this match?
Uh-huh.
Bo Breeze!
All you gotta do is Bo Breeze.
Breeze.
The nation of Bo Breeze domination.
Yep.
That's a true thing. They said that on a house show.
They're teaming up on house shows.
It's kind of amazing. Though the beard is kind of, the goatee is kind of...
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now. He will never hear this because it will never get back to him. But for the love of Christ, Bo Dallas, shave your damn face. No. Just no. The whatever the hell you got going on, no. Shave that off your face. I don't care if it took you 3 months to grow it. Off. Now.
Probably did take him 3 months to grow it. That's a scary thing.
We can only have one Rotunda brother with a beard. And your brother's rocking it, so no. Y'all can't share that. And I'm not having Bo Wyatt.
Or Bo Kane.
Well, essentially, if Bo were to become Bo Wyatt, he would be Brace Kane.
I know. I'm just throwing that out there.
And really, Luke should be Brace Kane. Just
anyway.
Luke's probably just as awful as Bray. So in terms of personality.
Probably. Anyway, I'm going to throw this out.
Braved.
Right. I'm going to throw this first question out to you. Does Eric Rowan have a chance?
No.
Why not?
It's kind of like New Day. I think they want to push Eric, but there's something holding them back from pushing Eric. Because they were behind him when he came out of the Wyatt family, and then they just got so cold on him. Because they keep having him lose. And as much as I would love to see Eric win, I don't think he's going to.
Eric Rowan, fact of the day. He eats whole potatoes like apples.
That explains so much.
Also cans of tuna.
Again, so much.
And apparently,
does he eat the potato while he's eating the tuna?
Probably.
And also,
Adam Rose lets him drive.
Yeah!
What's up with that?
Just the thought of Eric Rowan driving. Oh god.
He's driving the Exotic Express, everybody.
Party time all the time?
Whoa. Wow, it's a Steve McMichael. And over Reggie White. Anyway, focusing on the Battle Royal. Alright, so we're eliminating Eric Rowan from contention?
I'm eliminating half the people from contention.
Okay. What about the Big Show? Does the Big Show have a chance?
I think it's gonna come down to Big Show and Kane. At some point, they're gonna have a face-off, and one is going to eliminate the other, or they're both going to get eliminated together.
Okay.
And that's gonna take them out of the match. I can see Mizdow eliminating Miz. Honestly, I think the people that stand the best chance in this are Ryback and Mizdow.
Or Mystery.
You could have somebody from NXT win it.
Which, that could happen. Or a fella could win it.
Sheamus could also win it, yeah. But I do expect the returns of Bo Dallas. I expect possibly Sheamus.
I really expect the return of Sheamus in this one. My spidey senses tell me.
If Sheamus returns, I'm going Sheamus. If Sheamus does not return... I'm going Ryback.
Okay, so you're going Sheamus.
If he returns.
If he returns. All right,
if he does not return, Ryback.
Alright, Kent, you gotta note these things down, how she says them. Just point this out. I wanna believe that Bo Dallas is gonna win.
I just want Bo Dallas to come back.
I want Bo Dallas to come back. I don't think Mizdow wins.
Clean shaven.
Well, he currently has the beard as of today. I don't think the Miz wins.
Somebody book me a flight to San Fran. For a variety of reasons, but mainly to shave Bo Dallas's face.
And hug Bray Wyatt. I don't think Mark Henry wins. I don't think Heath Slater wins. If Finn Balor's the guy to win the NXT tournament and debut, he wins this matchup hands down.
Balor's not ready to come up yet.
No. I think the NXT guy is going to be Tyler Breeze.
It's going to be Tyler Breeze or it's going to be Neville. One of the two.
One of the two. Maybe, it might be Neville, just because.
I would put more money on Neville, because they've been talking about bringing him up for a while.
And he's the easiest one to throw in there without backstory.
Yep.
Because then you can build the backstory. Probably Neville wins.
Although Fandango and Tyler Breeze coming face to face with each other for the first time would be epic.
It would be. I'm going to say Sheamus wins. I think. All right, let's answer this question. Who's the first person gone?
First person gone?
I say Heath Slater.
Adam Rose.
Okay. Who's the final person to be eliminated? I say Sheamus eliminates Ryback.
Get out of my head.
You're going to call that as well?
Yeah.
Okay, they're meant to be tiebreakers, but at least we disagreed on the one, so that's all right. So there you go. Our next matchup.
Hashtag give Divas a chance.
And they're going to give a chance. Bellas versus AJ Lee and Paige. What's your thoughts?
This is a hard one to pick. And that's not uncommon with this card. There are a lot of really hard ones to pick. They've kept this pretty even. Obviously, you have the issues between AJ and Paige, where they're frenemies, and the likely outcome is that one turns on the other.
You would assume that's the outcome, but you never know.
But you never know. The other side of it is you have the Bellas, in which one Bella could turn on the other, namely Brie turns on Nikki.
By the way, we need to talk about it for a second. Shots fired on SmackDown.
Yeah, they left the Brock Lesnar line in there, and I'm just saying, Nikki, that while you were out taking your vacation, AJ was carrying the Divas division. So,
right?
And beggars can't be choosers? I mean...
And for those who have no idea what we're talking about, just listen to this.
We'll always forgive her, because we are sisters. I mean, you two desperately want my Divas championship. And I mean, let's just pray that AJ never gets it again, because we know she'll never show up to defend it. I mean, I think Brock Lesnar worked more days than you this past year.
Shots fired.
But what gets me about that promo is Brie says, I will always forgive her because we're sisters. Issues could arise. Let's not forget that they became very buddy-buddy again really quickly after that whole issue after the summer. There's no resolution to that.
Right.
So it's Brie could be biding her time to turn on her sister, and I'm still not 100% convinced that Brie isn't going to turn on Nikki simply because it's being hinted at least in Total Divas, that Brie is leaving. So they could have Brie turn... Or you could have Nikki turn on Brie and beat her down and send her on her way.
Could.
And that's it for Brie.
I don't think it's the end for Brie at WrestleMania.
I don't think it's the end for Brie, but the end for Brie is coming.
Probably at the end of the year.
So, I would guess that. But at least for me, I say the Bellas get their comeuppance. I say AJ and Paige go over.
Magic 8-Ball says, reply Hazy try again when asked if the Bell twins win. So, the AJ and Paige are going over. The Bellas have a chance at winning, but I think they screw up. I think Brie accidentally hits Nikki, or Nikki hits Brie by accident, and the good girls get the win. So I'm going AJ and Paige. I think they're going to get some time in this one. I think please, crowd, give the Divas a chance.
Yeah. Please don't boo them out of the building. Please don't. Don't be rude.
And do not chant CM Punk.
Please, for the love of God, do not chant CM Punk.
Because then I can't buy any of you on the internet seriously if you chant CM Punk. And you also then cry for give Divas a chance. You can't have it both ways.
Nope.
You really can't.
So up next, we've got Orton taking on Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins.
You handle it.
Orton. He just came back. He's on a roll. They're not going to have him job to Seth. And plus, if they're going to do a cash-in with Seth at the end of the night, then you need Seth to lose. But I'm going Orton. And then that way that also casts doubt on Seth for the authority.
They brought Randy Orton back for a reason. What that reason is, I don't know. Randy Orton said today on the WrestleMania Today, which we're stuff to get into about that later as we talk about a certain match, because things were said that were tried not to be said. It was very interesting. He hasn't got his title shot rematch since losing the belt. It's like, huh, he's right about that one. Never thought about that. It's been a year, he never got a rematch. That being said, Seth Rollins is sort of bulletproof because he has the briefcase.
Right.
And it wouldn't make sense, especially at WrestleMania, for Seth Rollins to win this match. This is Randy Orton's first match back, and he's taken first pay-per-view match back since November. And he's really been taking, you know, the falls for the authority for better part of 2014. He was taking a lot of losses. So coming back, he needs a win. He's the babyface of WrestleMania. He's a good guy at WrestleMania. Because Seth Rollins is bulletproof, and where our plan is to make stars later on. For the sake of all that, Rollins takes the loss to Randy Orton. So I'm going Randy Orton as well.
Yeah. It makes sense to have Orton go over here.
The Magic 8-Ball says, I wrote the question, will Randy Orton beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania? My sources say no. So Seth Rollins, according to 8-Ball, goes over.
We'll have to see who's right.
Yes.
And lastly, before we take our second break, John Cena versus Rusev for the U.S. title.
Okay. Before we get into this match, please, everyone, go to YouTube, search out John Cena on Jimmy Kimmel, and watch his 2-minute promo, Standing Up for the USA. It is fantastic. He talks about drinking American beer, all American things. He's the all American guy now. That's his training, drinking American beer, doing everything like that. It's amazing. It's so cheesy, but it's funny. Everyone go watch it. That out of the way, let's talk about this match. They've built this match up really well.
They have.
Everyone thought there was going to be a lot of rematches coming out of WrestleMania this year. This is really the only big rematch at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And they've done a great job. They had John Cena go in a fast lane and come up short. He passed out to Rusev. Rusev since then has told Cena, no, you can't get a title match with me. Because you didn't beat me. You don't get
right.
It. You don't deserve it. And I like that John Cena has become Mr. America. He's standing up for the USA. They're finally doing this right.
Yes.
I mean, I know me and you both got tired at the end of last year that it was Russia versus USA's storyline. But they've added a nice twist with the story, won't you agree?
Yeah, I would say at Fastlane and moving forward, they've done a nice job with it. Since they've now finally moved Rusev to John Cena, which we all knew was an eventuality based on how they were sort of setting him up for stuff. So now that they've got him in the feud with Cena, it's been nice. Excuse me.
It's been really good. I think they've got a lot of heel heat. I think John Cena is actually being cheered fully by a crowd right now, which if you think that's a real accomplishment.
When was the last time you heard John Cena cheered by a full crowd?
It's been a long time. I like the direction this is gonna go. I like the storyline they've been telling, and I like the match at Fastlane. I really did. I think this one's gonna be physical, it's gonna be aggressive, and, you know, Rusev's gonna have a bunch of Russians leading him, Russian soldiers leading him to the ring. That's gonna be an epic entrance.
That is gonna be an epic entrance.
I really think this is gonna be a good match. The thing about this match is, this has ramifications for the rest of the year, because if someone wins this belt, this could mean the start of raising the belts. Giving more credibility to certain championships, allowing another person to keep a championship. I think for the storyline aspect of this whole feud, because there'll probably be a rematch at Extreme Rules, it makes sense for John Cena to become the U.S. champion. It does. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I can see it where something happens, potentially Lana costs Rusev, and Cena picks up the win, and you have really... That or you have Rusev screw up, and Rusev costs himself the U.S. title, but either way, Cena wins, and it's because of Rusev or Lana that they lose the title. But yeah, it makes sense to have Cena win and finally beat Rusev.
Here's what I would have Rusev pass out, like John Cena did. And then I would, John Cena wins the match. So Rusev doesn't tap out. He still looks strong by passing out, because he never gave up. And then you go into Extreme Rules and do a last man standing match. I think that would work. I like the idea of Rusev passing out, because him tapping out, he would lose some credibility.
Yeah.
And we've seen so many people lose to the AA. I think, from a story standpoint, I think Rusev passing out would be the better story.
The fact that you would have John Cena go to that level, yeah. I can see that, where he gets that aggressive, where he forces Rusev to pass out, because he's already done it once.
Right.
He did it to get the match, so it makes sense that he would do it again. To get the belt.
That's at least how I see it.
Yeah, but I think we're both in agreement here that Cena's going over.
And apparently we agree with the Magic 8-Ball, because the Magic 8-Ball says, will John Cena win at WrestleMania? Without a doubt.
See, even the 8-Ball knows Cena wins.
It's WrestleMania. We all thought he was going to lose last year. And what happened?
He won.
That bastard.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about the guy he beat after the break, along with the top four, or I should say remaining top three matches left on the card. So
we got four matches to go.
Yeah, but I said including the guy he beat last year.
Oh, okay, yeah, the guy he beat last year.
There's three others we have to talk about.
Right.
Maths.
Yeah.
You can do the math.
1 + 2 = 7.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna get straight A's this year.
Woohoo! So anyway, you're listening to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jonas! It's Jason Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down! He just got the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute, I'll be right back.
Really? Come on, now. Man, tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree.
Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick.
I'm going with that. Oh, never mind, sorry. We're not making a tree. I seen him too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No.
as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Jake, don't work it out.
I believe you changed to
Cancer Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Once you get a little, they just wanna take you down, cuz. I got the money in the power. Yeah. Once you get a little, they just wanna take you down, cuz.
We've been going hard for too long. Can't get enough, what is you on? Yeah. Really ain't nothing I could drop that. Drop that. Wake up in the morning, make it all okay. Day. It's nothing, nothing to get it popping, wanna roll. Roll up, up and away, here we go. Yeah. Now Martin had a dream, I've been dreaming about gold. Tell him I
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. That's right, it's that point in the show where I start flubbing the plugs.
Also, go check out the Figure Mark podcast. He has a guy from behind who makes some of the action figures on his upcoming podcast this week or next week. Should be, I think it comes out tomorrow, I would assume.
I would assume yes, but we have breaking news, Rock.
What's breaking news?
Well, it seems they're doing the semifinals tonight of the NXT tournament to decide who's going to be in the Battle Royal of Mania, and well, the two finalists have been decided.
So do we have to make changes now?
No, we don't have to make changes, but well, it seems that it's coming down to Finn Balor or Hideo Itami.
Huh.
As to who's going to get the spot in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Apparently, also, according to Jerry Lawler himself, the Eva Marie rumor is BS.
Alright, so Jerry's hosting.
So, at least that's according to Bill Apter and Jerry Lawler. We'll see what happens.
I guess we will see what happens.
So there you go.
But now we're going to talk about really what we consider the top four matches on the card.
Wait, and you said Finn Balor and Hideo Itami?
Mm-hmm.
Balor might win the Battle Royal.
Okay. Which if he does... Think of what's going to happen at Mania.
Think about that entrance at WrestleMania.
Where he does the makeup? Yeah.
That might be, you know.
That could be cool.
I like how you do that, and there's a rumor on a website that says Neville's going to win.
I just saw a picture from Instagram where they said it's Itami and Balor in the final, so if it's not...
Alright, we'll see.
We'll see.
Well, we'll do some research as we go along here.
Yes, but now we have the IC title match where Bad News Barrett is taking on Dean Ambrose, Stardust, Daniel Bryan, R-Truth, Dolph Ziggler, and Luke Harper for the title in a ladder match.
Huh.
And we know how Dean Ambrose is getting ready. He's climbing mountains.
Yeah, he sat there. He climbed mountains. There's a video on WWE's YouTube about him climbing mountains getting in preparation because everyone's nuts and crazy and all that fun stuff. I don't know. I know, but I don't know. You know what I mean?
The rumor is Daniel Bryan, which makes sense because they're having Bryan become the face of SmackDown and they want to raise the visibility of the IC title, and putting it on him would certainly do that. I'm just not sure that's what I want to see.
Apparently, Hugh DeBoos and Let's Go Lesnar chants towards Reigns graphics at Access.
Oh, dear.
And Finn Balor beat Tyler Breeze. So Finn Balor is Lacey, and we'll meet Hideo Itami. So there you go.
It's going to be a good match. Go watch it.
Yeah, go out to Access and watch it. Anyway, back to the match at hand. Go continue. You were making a point.
I was just saying that I'm not sure I want Daniel Bryan to win the title. I'm reaching kind of the point where Daniel Bryan's getting a little overplayed, at least for me, because everybody wants him to win everything, and I'm kind of over that. It's like I'd rather see somebody else be given a chance.
She's backing R-Truth.
No, not backing R-Truth. Realistically, I would love to see Luke Harper win this match, but that's not realistic at all.
You're reaching for that one.
Because I think it's a crime that they gave Harper the belt, and then they didn't do anything with him, and they just turned him into a jobber.
Right.
Because Luke Harper is so much better than what they're doing with him right now. It's like I keep saying it every week. Does anybody else remember when Eric and Luke were like complete badasses and just messed up whoever they wanted?
And then they could never win the tag titles.
And then they could never win the tag titles because they would never let them win the tag titles.
Yeah.
Which they need to unite and win the tag titles.
I've liked this build to this ladder match.
I like it too. I like how everybody's been stealing the title. I like how they're making it feel important.
It's different. It's different. I know a lot of people are like, oh my god, these are just a bunch of geeks in the battle royal. In the ladder match. No, it's not. There's one geek. Everyone else is pretty cool. I've liked how they've done it. They've given new focus to a lot of different people. There are 7 people in this match who, let's realistically think about it, 5 of them probably didn't have a real, 4 of them probably really didn't have a realistic spot on WrestleMania if it wasn't for this ladder match.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Barrett, Stardust, R-Truth, and Luke Harper.
Pretty much. Well, they would have just gone in the Battle Royal.
Right. That being said, I think we can safely assume R-Truth is not gonna win this match.
I would say so. I would say R-Truth's out. I would say Stardust is out.
I would say Luke Harper's out.
I think for me, it's coming down to Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, and Dolph Ziggler.
And if you go back to WildTalkRadio.com right now, or after the show, and read my article I posted a few weeks ago, who will the crowd get behind? Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler. 3 strong fan bases. Only one can win. Only one fan base can be happy. And we know the internet. They're all very torn on who they like.
I say it goes to Bryan. I don't want to pick him, but that's the most logical choice, because honestly, that's what they're going to do. It makes sense to do that with him, because you can build a brand around him.
Okay. I'm going to eliminate Dolph Ziggler for this reason. Dolph Ziggler winning does nothing to elevate the belt, because he's a however many time champion, and when he holds the title, nothing really elevates. Correct?
Correct.
Bad news, Barrett's good champion. As much as he wants to say he's a great champion, he's injury prone. Booker T was right on the WrestleMania today. Dean Ambrose would be a great candidate, but they're going to give it to Daniel Bryan. This will be a show-stealing match.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to take some insane bumps.
Honestly, I would open the show with this.
I have a feeling it's going to open the show. Not it will be the second match if they do Randy Orton and Seth Rollins first. They're 1 and 2 in my book. They can go either way. It all depends if you want to do 2 multi-man matches. 3 multi-man matches back to back. Because the tag match, the battle royal, and then you want to do 3 multi-man matches. That's the big decision. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan. This will really be good. By the way, there's a drinking game for every time someone, Dolph Ziggler or Dean Ambrose does a crazy bump, chuck a beer, I think I wrote.
Oh god. You'd be dead before the end of the match.
Yeah, let's talk, let's see. Take 1 shot for every time Dean Ambrose takes a dive off a ladder. That's what it was. 1 shot every time he does.
Again, it's Dean Ambrose, so we could be dead before the end of the match.
Yeah, I'm going to run through the drinking game because before we move on. 1 shot for every Brock Lesnar German suplex. 1 shot for every video package. 1 shot for every time Sting points his bat. 1 shot every time Dean Ambrose dives off a ladder. 1 shot for every Snickers commercial. 2 shots for every person Curtis Axel eliminates in the Battle Royal. 2 shots for every tombstone. Chug a drink if The Rock shows up. Chug a drink if Paul Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar. Chug a drink for every selfie Tyler Breeze takes. Chug 2 drinks if Seth Rollins cashes in. Chug 2 drinks if Bray Wyatt beats The Undertaker. Chug 3 if Curtis Axel wins the Battle Royal. And chug 4 if Zack Ryder wins. If you have more suggestions for the WrestleMania 31 drink game, tweet them at Wild Talk Radio.
Yes.
By the way, we should mention the Magic 8 Ball did not pick Daniel Bryan. It said it's decidedly so for Dean Ambrose.
Hmm.
Interesting. Now let's get to the big 3.
And we're going to start with Hunter versus the man they call Sting.
On Monday Night Raw, they said it's been 14 years since WCW closed. And that's true. Today was the final Nitro, March 26th, 14 years later. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
I still remember that day coming home from school and seeing the WCW graphic on WWF.com.
I still remember turning on Raw that night and Shane McMahon being in the ring at Nitro.
Shane McMahon's on Nitro!
And Shane telling Vince that he had bought WCW from under him, which led to the Alliance storyline. And for me, that was like one of the best kickoffs to a storyline that they ever did.
I now own WCW.
It's such a shame that the Alliance storyline turned out so crappy, but the way they kicked that off was just fantastic.
And the match Vince and Shane had at WrestleMania? Ooh, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but...
Now, 14 years later, we have Sting and Triple H. They've done a pretty good job building this. They've kept the suspense of Sting staying away, whether that's good or bad. He's an attraction, and this will be his first match in a WWE ring in WrestleMania, which in and of itself is a big to-do.
Mm-hmm.
Really big. It's a big to-do. It's a big deal. All right, now here are a couple of the WrestleMania Today notes. Ric Flair was on the show. And oh my god, Ric Flair. So they talk about, you know, back in 93, he told Sting to come to WWE when Flair was there. Before Flair mistakenly went back to WCW, in his words. And then he's been telling Sting, you know, come to WWE, it's the big time, have a run, go into their Hall of Fame, the real Hall of Fame.
That's not a shot.
and be done. And, you know, he talked about how there are many other Hall of Fames, you know, like the NWA Hall of Fame and this other Hall of Fame.
Ric Flair is trying so hard not to say TNA.
And then he went on to say, sort of like Michael Cole was saying, they were talking about Triple H being like not being in the ring for about a year since, you know, June, whatever, and the long layoff. And it's like, when was the last time Sting was in the ring? And Michael Cole was about to like go off saying it's been years since Sting's been in the ring. And then Ric Flair like sort of jumps in and sort of talks about, well, Sting's been wrestling like once a week for the last 10 years, you know, down there.
And they're all like, shut up, Rick. Shut up.
Booker, you were there too. You were there with him.
Booker's like, don't bring me into this.
It was awesome. You don't have to never go watch it. It's awesome. Get it for that reason only. It's amazing. That and dick jokes with Damien Sandow. It's amazing.
Yep.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Oh, anyway, back to this match. This is going to be really good. The two of them have been working together. They've been at the Performance Center together. They've been practicing. I think it's a no-brainer.
I'm with you on that. I think it's Sting going over.
As much as I love the Triple H movement, I think it doesn't win at WrestleMania. I think Sting goes over. It's the reason he came in. He's going to win.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to have Sting come in, and I don't think Sting would come in just to lay down for Hunter, at least not in this instance. Now, you could always do a second match between the two if you really wanted, but I think Sting is going to be the one to kind of put the authority in check a little bit and be that balance to them, where he's now maybe going to take over that conscience of the WWE a little bit. Because, you know, somebody else can't be bothered but to show up one day a year. Not mentioning any names and their crappy cargo pants. Just saying.
At least he's growing a goatee.
At least he has hair.
At least he has hair.
For now.
For now. I always put that in there. For now. So, I guess the Magic 8-Ball will Sting win at WrestleMania. Reply Hazy trying in. So they're not. So the Magic 8-Ball says the Triple H movement. So we're both going Sting on that one. Alright, now to the two main events. We're saving our favorite match for last. We got a lot to cover in this one though.
Yeah, we do.
WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. It was reported on ESPN Sports Center with Michelle Beadle that Brock Lesnar has re-signed with WWE and his Octagon career is over.
Vince backed the truck up.
Brock Lesnar got a pay raise for a 3-year deal. I love the fact that Brock Lesnar is staying with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the best they could make. It opens up so many possibilities for the next 3 years. Because it goes to them, we don't need to make another guy just yet because we have a guy named Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it buys them time, especially with someone like Roman, where they can really build Roman up.
Please don't let him do Snickers commercials.
Please don't. Just saying.
Just pointing that one out. Okay. They've done a decent job with this build. Paul Heyman's been the MVP. Complete MVP. It's been amazing. But I like that Brock's back. He was good on SportsCenter. He's an ultimate babyface now, thanks to SportsCenter.
And yeah, he is. He really is.
And people are going to cheer him, as we, you know, told you a few minutes ago. They're already cheering him, rather than Roman Reigns. This is the question before we get into a Roman Reigns topic. Is Brock Lesnar the key for WWE to go mainstream in the sports?
If he's not the key, he's certainly a stepping stone.
Because when was the last time a breaking news WWE story was on SportsCenter?
Oh, I think the streak?
Maybe, but that was in passing.
Yeah, this was an actual, they opted to make the announcement on SportsCenter. I'm sure Bill Simmons had something to do with that.
Michelle Beadle. Because they like UFC, they were in California. Bill Simmons, Michelle Beadle, they're all connected. And she legit had no idea what he was going to say. They had the coach there as well, which was cool.
Yeah. It's like, in case I need to translate, Brocky's, you know,
I speak Brock.
I speak Brock.
Was the best way to put it. I like that. I think this is going to be key, because there was an article that's why I wrote the question that's saying this could lead to more mainstream sports stuff for WWE, for them to be taken more seriously, with Brock Lesnar as the head of it. And I agree.
I would agree with that.
Now, here in Philadelphia on CSNPhilly.com, they do a show called The Lunch Break. They had a special guest today. Thanks to Snickers. His name was Roman Reigns. And there was something posed to him, and we're going to let you hear it, and then we'll react. Take a listen.
Is it kind of odd, because you're kind of supposed to be the good guy, so it's kind of weird that you get that kind of reaction?
I don't think so. You know, that the whole good guy, bad guy thing is, I think we're past that. I think there's a lot of gray area. I think, you know, I'm me. You know, I can be a good guy and a bad guy. I can be the guy. You know, there's a lot of different hats that I wear. And, you know, that's the world we're living in. It's a very reality-based world. We're not these crazy, outlandish characters, because you can just go on the internet and look me up. So I try to stay as close as I can to my real self and make it true. And that's what I hope to do, is just to continue to evolve and grow.
Gray areas. It's kind of funny. Whenever a guy gets booed when he should be cheered, it's always gray. Always a gray area. Could it be that it's like you're not getting over?
I think it's a common excuse that it's a gray area where basically like, oh yeah, you know, I know I'm not getting over, but it's fine. I agree with Roman. There is a lot of gray, and there are people who can do gray areas very well. But there is still a need for good guys and bad guys, and in order to really pull off a gray area, you have to do both a good and a bad guy character. You have to show that to the fans, because then that gray area begins to exist, where it's like, in the case of Randy Orton, he's not really a good guy, he's not really a bad guy, he's somewhere in between, but there's certain behaviors that he does that are forgiven by the fans, because that's just Randy being Randy. Taker is another good example. He's not a good guy, he's not a bad guy, he's Taker. And whatever he does, oh, that's Taker being Taker.
But he is cheered.
But he is cheered. John Cena is supposed to be a good guy, but he's booed. And there is a gray area with John Cena where he's doing things, well, maybe they're not so good guy, but they're not bad guy either.
But usually his intentions are always good.
Yeah, but it's like for Roman to say, yeah, I'm a good guy, but I don't really believe in that, and there's a lot of gray area. It's like, well, that's fine if you don't believe in it, but here's the thing. You're supposed to be a classic babyface going up against a monster heel, you know, in terms of that story, and it's like you have to tell that story. And
if the guy involved in the story doesn't believe he's that in that, believe the character for that story, then how are the fans supposed to believe it?
Yeah, I think that's the problem, is we can't believe.
He doesn't believe himself.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can we believe in him?
Yeah. It's very difficult to connect with someone if they don't believe in what they're doing. And when it kind of comes across like that, it's like, yeah, that kind of makes sense why I'm not jiving with what you're doing.
Now, to the finish of this match. Can go so many ways.
Oh, we're not going to talk about the Google comment?
Oh, yeah, Google. I forgot about the Google comment. Talk about the Google comment.
So basically, in addition to what he said in the interview, he also, you know, basically, I forget what the question was.
He said you could go on the internet and look me up. Basically, Google himself.
I have a problem with that. This is the guy that you're picking to be the face of your company. This is the guy that needs to connect with your entire audience. He's been on the main roster 3 years, and we don't really know any more about him than when he showed up. Beyond his personal life. We don't know his goals. We don't know his aspirations. We don't know what brought him there, what's keeping him there, who he likes, who he dislikes, what his favorite food is. And there are some superstars that when you connect to, when they tell you who they are, you connect to them. And that's the thing, is Roman Reigns hasn't really told us who he is. He hasn't really shown us who he is. We know he's the badass from the Shield, but the badass has sort of gone away, and there's this guy that's, you know, really nice looking, decent wrestler, but, you know, he doesn't talk much, so we don't really know a lot about him. And for him to say, well, I can't be bothered to tell you who I am, just go Google me, that bothers me on a lot of levels, because honestly, part of your job is to tell the fans who you are. you have to explain that to people. Because not everybody is going to go out and Google you. Because some people can't be bothered. We're a visual group. We need those visual cues. And you need to tell us that. Because guess what? I can Google you and it will tell me, yeah, this is your real name. This is where you're from. This is your wife's name. This is your daughter's name. This is where you went to college. That's all background information. That's great to have, but what is your character? What are you supposed to be? What are you trying to get to? You know, it's like, I really want to connect to Roman. I really want to like him. I really truly do, but there's just something there that I just can't do it, and it's mainly because I just don't know how the hell to connect to him. Because I don't have anything in common with him. And it's like, I want to find that common trait, and I think that's what a lot of people are missing. Where it's like, you know, yeah, he's the badass of the shield. Yeah, he can, you know, he's got pretty hair and he can do a spear and he does all these different moves and that's great. But it's, why should I like him?
Why should I believe in Roman Reigns?
Yeah, why should I believe in Roman Reigns? You tell me I should believe in Roman Reigns, but why should I believe in Roman Reigns? That's what's missing for a lot of people is he's going out there every week. He's saying, believe in me. Believe in what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop Brock Lesnar. I'm going to win the title. Great. Good for you. Why should I believe you? You don't believe in yourself. You can't be bothered to explain, you know, anything to me and let me get to know you as a character. So why should I believe you? It's something that hearing that bothers me. It really genuinely bothers me. And I'm sure it's taken out of context, but still it's for him to say, oh, well, you know, if you want to know anything about me, you can Google me. No, dude, that's not how this works. It's like, here's the thing. Just because I like to talk about him, we're going to compare Roman to Bray.
Go for it.
We know more about Bray in the year and a half that he's been on the roster than we know about Roman.
True story.
We know where Bray comes from. We know what motivates him.
All right, here's the thing. What's Roman Reigns' motivation right now? Who's he fighting for? Is he fighting for the people?
I don't know.
Or is he fighting for himself?
I don't know.
Like, he won the Royal Rumble, so it's like, is he going to take down the almighty Brock Lesnar for us or for himself? I don't know. Yeah, it's like, I don't know these things. If I knew his motivation, I could get behind the motivation. I don't know the motive. Like, here's a comparison. Shawn Michaels wins the Royal Rumble in 1996. What was his motivation? To realize his boyhood dream. Easiest story to get behind. Right?
Right.
Why is Shawn Michaels blew up? Because people believed in the boyhood dream. Simple as that. We all know the stories. It's easy to tell. Tell the story.
Yeah, it's like if he can't come up with something, then just make up something for him. Have him just say, okay, hey, well, this is what we're going to do.
Just say he's fighting for his family.
Yeah, I mean, you keep bringing up his family. So is it he's fighting to stay in his family? He's fighting for family honor? What is, you know, it's like you have all these fragments that they're not tying them together with him. And there's just, he's just this kind of there. And it's like, he just keeps saying, it's like, believe in me. And it's like, why? Why should I? You're not giving me any kind of reason beyond this supposed badass who's won two matches. Two big matches.
I figured it out. His motivation is because we tell him he can't do it. That's why he can and he will.
That is the stupidest motivation ever.
And we're supposed to believe that. WWShop.com.
Dude, I tell myself that every day when I get up and go to work.
I know.
Mainly because my brain's like, I can't sit in traffic another day, and it's, yes, you can.
I will. Believe that. Where's my Starbucks?
Out. Yeah, exactly. Where the hell is my Starbucks? By the way, the people at Starbucks lied to me. There is a birthday cake frappuccino. I have a mission for tomorrow.
Woohoo.
But, yeah, and it's like, I really, really want to get behind Roman. And originally everybody was kind of dreading this match because we weren't sure if Brock was going to stay, if he was going to go. And if Brock leaves, obviously the title goes to Roman, and there was an option of having Seth cash in.
Now you still have that option.
You still have that option of Seth cashing in. I don't see Seth cashing in at this point. They're not going to re-sign Brock Lesnar for a shit ton of money to have him lose that title.
Right.
At least not right now. I can see Seth Rollins cashing in. They're going to have him cash in before June or July.
June.
But I don't see it being Mania now with Brock signing a brand spanking new contract.
It makes no sense to take the belt off of Brock Lesnar right now because of the big, big press he just got.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense right now to keep the belt on Brock a little bit longer. I imagine he's going to be doing a few more dates
Not many,
but I can see him coming back for Extreme Rules.
He's done that in the past.
Where they bring him, and that's where you basically have him lose the belt, probably in May?
I would have him lose it at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I'd give him a full year as the champion. I give him a full year as champion, and makes the story better for when he's finally when the belt's finally taken off.
Yeah, but here's the thing, then Seth loses the Money in the Bank, so is Seth the first one to never cash in?
Or he fails to cash in on Monday night.
I wouldn't have him fail, though. That's the thing with Seth. I would, cause Seth's whole thing right now is the Money in the Bank, and if you have him not succeed, he's DOA. Look at Damian Sandow, okay?
Unless he gets screwed out of the belt, the briefcase, by Roman Reigns. You can have Roman Reigns screw Seth Rollins in the match and have it that way.
No. I don't really want Roman to do that.
Neither do I, but it's a scenario. I can also see,
I know, you can, I just...
You can also have, I heard this earlier, and this was a cool one, have Seth Rollins cash in while the match is going on at WrestleMania.
That could happen. But then he's got to win. Like, that's the thing, Seth has to win.
Yeah, unless he cashes in, and then, you know, loses the match, but it's a three-way at that point. I don't know. I don't think there's a cash in at WrestleMania. I think it's too obvious.
Oh no, I don't think there's gonna be cash in WrestleMania, especially since the ink isn't even dry on the contract yet. I say Brock retains.
The Magic 8-Ball took a few seconds, actually took a while, to actually say Brock Lesnar wins, most likely, at WrestleMania. I'm going with Brock, because I think it makes the most sense. But then there's the other part of me goes, I hope WWE sticks to their guns. But that's the double-edged sword. It's like, you want WWE to stick to their plan, but at the same time, I want to see Brock. Brock is my champion right now. He's the one I want to see. He's the biggest star. He should have the belt.
Honestly, I think WWE's plan all along was to re-sign Brock and get him back under contract. Roman, I think, is the backup, and I think they have the intention of building Roman into a star, but now they can take the time in that they need with Roman to build him. Because, obviously, the crowds are not happy with him, and if they put that title on him, they are going to boo him out of the building.
He's going to get the boot out of Levi Stadium.
And the only way that you're going to be able to salvage that is if you turn Roman heel.
And that's the thing I need to get addressed. Don't mess up a good thing. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman's a good thing. You don't mess that up. That's stupid.
Yeah.
With Brock around for 3 years, don't screw that up. Makes no sense. End of story. Yeah, so Brock retains, and my spidey sense tells me once WrestleMania ends, you hear the words, if you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Now, could Roman's cousin cost him the title?
He could, but my spidey sense says, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, face-to-face showdown to tease next year's WrestleMania main event.
He's calling his shot, ladies and gentlemen. He's calling his shot.
If you smell what I'm cooking.
Yep.
Now let's get into it.
Alright, so here's the main event for me. The Undertaker taking on Bray Wyatt. Oh, man.
Alright, so... Where to begin? Should I replay the 5-minute intro? No.
No, don't replay the 5-minute intro. Good Lord.
It was a fantastic intro. And we've said it for 6 weeks. This has been the best work of Bray Wyatt's career to this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a one-man... He's been the one-man band, baby. Carrying this feud.
It's been the best work of Bray's career. They obviously have faith in him to carry this feud, because if they didn't, they never would have let him fly solo. So it speaks to his skill level and what management thinks of him to do what he's done.
Correct.
I wish Taker had been a little bit more involved.
I really wish he would have been a little bit more involved. Not in front of the live crowd. Promos. Like, we watched SmackDown tonight. They added a phrase into a promo.
Yeah, they did. They had him say, I'm not dead. Like, there's probably a whole recording that they did of him. And I'm sure there are promos and everything else that they probably did for this that ended up getting cut. What I was kind of thinking this would do and this would be is very similar to what they did with Kane at WrestleMania 20, where Taker was not involved, but they did magics and they had mind games and...
We wanted to see a little bit more screwing with Bray Wyatt.
And that didn't happen. Bray's been very much in the driver's seat in this. And the last promo that we saw him really cut, it's very clear that Bray Wyatt has assumed the Undertaker's powers, and he's coming for the Undertaker. This is not Bray needs to be ready. It's Taker needs to be ready. Because Bray smells blood in the water, and he's coming for it.
He really is. The other night we were watching, I think it was Tuesday night, we watched The Undertaker versus Kane, right?
Right.
And we watched that build-up video package. Shook the ring. They had the lightning, all the effects. And I just love the fact, when we watched the match, it was like, the Kane's reaction to The Undertaker showing up was priceless. I thought that was tremendous, going back in time and watching that. It's like, oh my god, are you real? Are you real? You're not real. This is a dream.
I killed you.
This, and how that ties in is, this has been Bray Wyatt's dream. He has wanted this matchup since he's probably became Bray Wyatt, and even when he was a little bit more huskier. He's always wanted The Undertaker.
He's probably wanted this match since he was 5!
He probably has. This is the guy he grew up watching. The Undertaker is the phenom. He's The Undertaker. One of the most dominant people in WrestleMania history. This is a match to showcase Bray Wyatt. The build-up has been about Bray. This match needs to be about Bray Wyatt. I said this on Monday. Bray Wyatt's been very passionate. He's been very determined. You know, wildtalkradio.com, read more thoughts about that. Shameless plug. Yes, I am. It's one of those things. He has the biggest opportunity in front of him. He really, really does. I hope the WWE realizes what they have on their hands. You know?
I think they do. I think they see it, and I think they know where they're gonna take Bray, just based on house show reports, after Mania. The thing with this build is, Bray needs to win. This is not a, he should win, this is a maybe, this is no. This is, Bray Wyatt needs to win this match. He needs to beat The Undertaker. It makes no logical sense to have The Undertaker beat Bray Wyatt, because the Taker's gonna be here for one night. That's it. One night that we know of. Now, he could come back and he could do another pay-per-view, but I sincerely doubt it. It doesn't add up to let Taker win the match and hurt Bray, because it will. Basically, this boils down to this. Bray challenges Cena last year. Bray loses. He lost some credibility with that. It hurt him to lose to Cena, especially in the fashion that he did, and the fact that he lost that feud. And he got his momentum back, and he's rolling along, and he's fine, and they're pushing the hell out of him, and they're making him look super strong heading into Mania. To have him lose to The Undertaker basically costs him all credibility. Because I know a lot of people say that this match doesn't matter. It does for Bray, because if Bray can't put Taker away, then it shows that Bray Wyatt can't get it done for the big matches.
And right now, we're in an era of, let's build new stars. The guy in front of us is going to be a big star.
The thing with Bray is they're really setting him up to be this generation's version of The Undertaker. They're already giving him that treatment, and
he needs that win. I don't want this effort to be wasted.
I don't want this effort to be wasted. I don't want him to be relegated to the mid-card. I don't want him to be turned into a joke. I want him to become one of the top heels in the company. I want him to become the top heel in the company. I want him to win the title, and I want him to be around for 20 years. I want all those things, because what they have in Bray Wyatt is something that no one else has.
He connects to the crowd in a certain way. There's a section of the audience who go, oh my god, I don't understand what he's talking about. There's a bigger section of the crowd go, I don't get it, but I'm intrigued. And there are some people who go, I get it. I see the magic in them. And the audience, especially in the building, they like Bray Wyatt's an entire experience. Just imagine what the experience is going to be like at WrestleMania. We saw some of it last year. That's where it began. But I have a feeling it's going to be even bigger this year.
80,000 lights. It's going to be amazing.
The fireflies should be out in full effect. And we're going to get more into this match here in a second. But it's something where going back for a second, the one thing with this build that I kind of was disappointed in was the lack of Bray Wyatt in the ring. I wanted to see more of Bray in the ring beating up people, just to show a little bit more of a dominant streak. Because the last time we saw him, he was beating up Dolph Ziggler, and that was it. it didn't need to be every week, but a couple times, get him in the ring and beat someone. Even if it was on SmackDown. You could have saved the talking for Raw and beating up people on SmackDown. Just have him dominating people, cutting his amazing promos. Because then he would look, oh my god, look how dominant Bray Wyatt is. Can The Undertaker beat that man who is on a tear through everybody?
And here's the thing. You've already had Bray take Taker's powers in quotations, and he now controls them, as was proof on Monday.
Correct.
By beating The Undertaker, that will cement Bray really as a legit threat.
Because that's what you need.
There's
a bunch of guys on this roster you can't take seriously. Because they're looked at as jokes rather than threats. As much as we love Kane. He's a joke at this point. But he had a 15-year run before he became one.
Oh yeah.
The Big Show, as much as they try to make him look like a dominant force, I don't care about the Big Show. I care about Bray Wyatt. I want to see him succeed.
Well, the thing is like, if you have Bray beat Taker, and you have Bray assume Taker's powers and his position and everything, you're really setting Bray up to be unstoppable, because you could really send him on a tear through the WWE, where he potentially makes a run for the title, or he makes a run for power, where he basically starts to go for his agenda. Like, right now he's biding his time and he's waiting. He got a taste of the title last year in Money in the Bank by sheer dumb luck. And now you could potentially move him into that main event category to help freshen it up. And whether if it's for the IC title, because they are trying to push that, whether it is for the World Heavyweight title, though I would not do Brock versus Bray, because good lord, Bray would die.
How about, no, we're going to stop you. At some point, that could be a good match. At some point. But think about that. Bray Wyatt, the dominant monster against the Beast. The unstoppable Beast, the dominant monster. Who comes out on top. It could work down the line. Not anytime soon.
Down the line it could work.
And they would be the two guys who beat The Undertaker.
Going head to head to determine who's better. Yeah. I mean, I can see it. I can see it in my head.
2 years from now would be great.
2 years from now would be great. Next month, not so much.
No.
But it would do wonders for Bray. It would give him credibility. It would cement him in the main event scene. It would make him a legit threat. It would give him the ability to be able to go after anybody he wants at that point. And honestly, I'd really love to see Bray go after Hunter. I think you could do something really intriguing with that, and beating Taker is that first step, because you have Bray take Taker's powers, in quotations, and now he controls them. They go at his whim.
Right, and then it's like, if he can beat The Undertaker, who's going to beat Bray Wyatt?
Exactly.
Because The Undertaker, for even losing at WrestleMania, he's still The Undertaker. He still has that legacy of, okay, he's The Undertaker. Only two men in history would then have beaten him at WrestleMania. Which then leads to the whole story of The Undertaker's real redemption at 32 for the final send-off. If this isn't it. Because there's all the kinds of talk. Maybe he's going to 32, maybe he's not. It all depends on this match Sunday. WrestleMania against Bray Wyatt. I just think it's very important for Bray Wyatt to get this win, to solidify himself as a threat. Because Seth Rollins is on the rise. He's going to be a good guy, good competitor. You need more heels. It's time for the era of the Big Show and Kane and Mark Henry's to go away. It's time for someone like Bray Wyatt to move into the number two spot and slowly make it to number one.
Right.
With the authority in play, Bray Wyatt will always be number two for a while, but that's okay. The business is better when you have a strong one and two. Because when you had The Rock as a heel, you had Undertaker as a heel. They're a pretty good combination back in the Attitude Era, weren't they?
I never saw it, so I'll take your word for it.
They were. I'm just telling you, when you had The Undertaker as a heel, you had the Rock as a heel in 98. Whoo! That was something, alright. It was great stuff. It's just, I want to see Bray Wyatt succeed. I really do, and I think would a loss hurt him? Depending on how it's done. Do I see him getting destroyed by The Undertaker at WrestleMania? No. Could I see The Undertaker winning? Yeah. I really do. I could see The Undertaker winning. That's my brain talking. That really is. My brain's saying, this is the year The Undertaker gets his win. Highly competitive match, but The Undertaker somehow survives. And all is right with the world. But my reasoning is, but why? Why does it need to be that way? After that point, it's like, why? Why does The Undertaker need to be rebuilt? He's going away. Unless there's some plan for him to stay around, which there probably isn't.
No, he's perfectly content to go home and be...
Mr. Mark.
Be Mr. Mark, be dad, be, you know, a husband and a father, and live his life. He's earned his time at home, and I think he's perfectly content to stay at home. Could we see him come back and do other things? Probably, eventually. He's going to be one of those, he's never out of the company. And he'll always be there if they need him. But, you know, it's at this point, the future is starting to happen and the company is starting to evolve. And it's an evolution that's not going to include The Undertaker. And it's time to pass the torch. And I think everybody acknowledges that. And the clear chosen successor is Bray Wyatt. And, I mean, The Undertaker beating Bray Wyatt is not going to change what happened last year. If the streak was in play, this would be a different conversation.
It'd be easy Bray Wyatt loses.
It would be easy Bray Wyatt loses. But because the streak is no longer in play, it opens the door for Bray Wyatt to win. Because Taker beating Bray Wyatt isn't going to do anything for Taker. It's not going to change the fact that he lost last year. It's not going to restore necessarily any faith in anybody that... he can win. We know Taker can win. Taker has to beat Brock Lesnar. And nobody wants to see Taker step in the ring with Brock Lesnar again, especially after last year.
No.
So it's something of, you know, it doesn't do anything for Taker. It doesn't help Taker to beat Bray. It puts a win in the, it puts a check in the W column. Yay, great. He doesn't really need that. You know, it's, they're telling the story that The Undertaker's done, essentially.
And in all realistic reasons, he is done. He's semi-retired wrestler at this point, working one day a year. To their choice, not his.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if he could have been more involved in this and they were concerned with what people, you know, thought he would look like, he probably would have been involved more, but that's the way that they booked the feud.
They basically didn't want to come up with a reason on how he reacted to the loss.
But that's what everybody wants to see. Is the reaction to the loss. Even though we saw it initially at the show, you know, a year later, everybody would love to know his thoughts on losing. Because it doesn't matter why he lost. Like Heyman said, you know, well, we deserve an explanation on why he lost. He got his ass kicked. That's why he lost. It's more what the streak meant to him and what the loss really meant to him that everybody's curious to know. And that's something that we're probably not going to find out for a long while.
Right. Especially in the Sean Hunter years, the streak meant a lot to him to continue it. So it's like coming off of those, it's like we want to know what's his reaction to losing. What's his mindset? Now, we all know he got his ass kicked. There's a reason why he lost. He lost to Brock. It would have opened up him up to be a human sort of. And I don't think they wanted to fully go the human direction. At least that's my thought. Alright, so we both agree Bray Wyatt's winning, correct?
Yes.
The Magic 8-Ball says, outlook looks good. Now let's get into the match. The entrance is going to be fantastic. Oh my god, I can't wait to see what they have planned. I really can't wait to see what they have planned for Bray and Taker.
Oh, the entrances. Oh, God.
One of the reasons why the match got cut, a lot of elaborate entrances are on this show.
Good.
Two of them are probably in this match.
Well, Sting's going to get one. Hunter's getting one. Taker's definitely getting one.
We should mention Hunter, one news story we never talked about. Hunter's going to have something to do with the new Terminator movie.
Yeah.
Should be pretty cool. There's one with Scarecrows. That's either for Sting or Bray Wyatt. We'll see
Rusev.
We talked about Rusev. With this match, The Undertaker always has an entrance. And with the stage going to be as long as it probably is, usually, Taker's going to take a sweet-ass time to get to the ring. He's probably going to have something cool. The set sort of looks like it's going to have a big screen at the back of it with the WrestleMania logo, sort of like 28.
Yeah.
Which was a cool set in general. So that's a cool aspect. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to is what kind of entrance will Bray Wyatt have this year? What kind of entrance will The Undertaker have this year? And then, there's that moment I want to see in this match.
The stare down.
The stare down? And then the sit up during the spider walk.
Yeah, I want that.
That's the moment I want. I've been talking about it for about 4 months now. The sit up, the spider walk. Them locking eyes as it happens. You have Bray Wyatt doing a spider walk, Undertaker sits up, Taker looks directly at him, and then I could see Bray Wyatt laughing.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see that moment.
Oh, I can see Bray Wyatt sitting there laughing as Taker's getting in the ring, and Taker just doesn't even know what to do with him.
Right? But the first time they stare down, it's the moment that why they've kept Taker off TV.
Oh, yeah. Because it's the moment everybody wants to see, and you have to pay to see it.
Yeah.
By the way, breaking news, Hideo Itami's going to WrestleMania.
They did the finals already, too?
Yeah.
How about that? All right, then. It's Hideo Itami. The one we all didn't think. It's the one we weren't thinking about. All right, then. All right, so Hideo Itami's in the Battle Royal. I guess he's ready to make his debut, I guess. I guess he's one where it's like, if he's in there, it's okay. Acer and Chamber goes, Bray Wyatt really carried a few throughout the weeks for the program with The Undertaker. A win for Bray Wyatt over The Undertaker would be a big boost for Bray there. Yes, it would.
It would be a huge boost. Because like I said, it puts him in the main event. It moves him into an area where it opens doors for him.
It's in a spot he's never been. It's a spot where they're lacking right now. They're lacking people in that main event spot. And he would be as good as anybody in that spot. That's just my thought process on it. I really believe it. I really, truly believe it. It's just, yeah, I just see it happening. I think it's going to be really cool.
I'm probably wrong and Bray's probably going to lose, but just to me, it makes the most sense for Bray to win.
Yeah.
And I want it. Honest to God, want Bray to win this match. I kind of need him to.
We kind of want this to happen. He won't be hurt. Alright, I'll put it this way. Bray Wyatt won't be hurt by a loss if they follow up and make him really strong after.
Yeah.
They can't have him just sit around and do nothing. The idea is for him to lose, there's gotta be a plan to rebuild him ASAP. From the night after WrestleMania, have him do something big the night after. He can't just float around. He needs to go on a mission. That, my friends, I believe is a WrestleMania preview.
I think it is. So, well, I say we get up out of here.
Before we do, make sure you do your picks. Facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadio Network or tweet them at WildTalkRadio. You can even email them, media@WildTalkRadio.com. Take your picks. I'm down until Sunday at 4 or 5 p.m. Let's go with 4 now since they moved the Battle Royal up a little bit into the pre-show. We'll go 4 p.m. now, just so everyone's clear. 4 p.m. Get them all in. I think that's good. I think that's it. But I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. I am really looking forward to Sunday.
I'm ecstatic for Sunday. I can't wait. And, yeah, that's all I got. I'm excited.
WrestleMania, baby. WrestleMania.
It's here. So, everybody, check it out. Tune in. You don't want to miss it. And, well, tune in after WrestleMania because WTR is doing their review of the show right after it goes off the air.
At 11 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. But before then, one final preview of WrestleMania Saturday night, midnight-ish, on CB Radio. Will Subway and Rob make their picks, their thoughts, and analysis on WrestleMania. Follow the show on Twitter, at CBRadioWTR, Facebook.com/CigarettesButtsAndBandanas. Check out the website, CBRadioLive.com, using the hashtag BlameRob. Sunday night, as she just mentioned, is WTR Sunday night. Tim Stein, Mason, Omega will give their review of WrestleMania. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show. We will be live at 11:10 p.m. Eastern, covering the fallout from the night after WrestleMania, which is always a big show. Who will debut? What kind of big things will happen? We'll talk about 11:10 p.m. Eastern on the Raw Post Show. We'll be back Thursday night next week, 10 p.m. Eastern, to give our review of WrestleMania.
Yes.
You can follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheUnderscoreRack, Facebook.com/WTRRack. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRRack. Check out the website, RackRadioShow.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can get on iTunes and Stitcher, Rack Radio Show, as well as Wild Talk Radio Network. And wherever you are, on the go, tune in radio, Wild Talk Radio Network.
You end it right as I yawn. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you like to view my artwork, it's available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. The new piece, Lead Me Home, is up and available for your viewing pleasure, so please go check that out. Also, please don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnasylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211. Also, check out the Figure Mark podcast, and please, please, please go to indiegogo.com and donate to Matt Goldberg's film. I'm sure he would greatly appreciate it. We would as well, because, well, we want to help him out.
More information is available at facebook.com/w2therock or facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork.
Yes. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. We will see you on the flip side of WrestleMania, but till then, bye!